Well, amen. It's so good to be with you this morning. We are in week three of our Advent series, and I don't think we can talk Advent, this time of year without talking about love. And we're going to be in the Advent of love today. Now, if you're kind of tracking with us the traditional weeks on when the Advent of love would pop up, some put it on the fourth week. We're taking care of it this week, and the next week we're going to be talking about the Advent of joy on Christmas Eve. You do not want to miss that gathering. Super excited. We've been planning some things for that week, for that specific Sunday, so you don't want to miss it. If you're not going to be in the house with us in person, encourage you to check it out online. Join us. We'll be here 10:30 doing it all. Hopefully we'll be able to get this room dark so that we can have some good candlelight time together. But what is love? What's love? I love the Princess Bride. Any Princess Bride people in the house? Yeah, my wife is not one of them. I learned that when I was watching this we were sitting in our other house, and we were watching this, and I'm laughing out loud, and she keeps looking over. At one point, she's like, "Do you really think this is funny?" I'm like, "This is hilarious." She didn't find it so funny. We didn't even finish the movie. But if you watch The Princess Bride, that's love, right? I mean, that's like Princess Buttercup and Wesley, her dear Wesley, man, they have this beautiful love story. Is that love? You know, that's like the fairy tale love. There's a lot of Christmas movies out there that are loaded with stories like that and makes you feel good. And if you're married, you're like, man, sometimes this is true, sometimes it ain't like that at all. I wish it was all like the movies, but it's always not. And then I think about, you know, like a brotherly love. I have a brother, Christian. He's in the back running sound. And when I was in ninth grade, he was driving us to high school. And from my first day of high school, this is a true story, first day of high school, we go to McDonald's, I think, to get some coffee, and we drive, and we're driving to the school at this point, and I spilled my coffee all over my jeans. And I don't know if you know what it's like to go to high school for the first time. I was nervous. Like, it is a big step, middle school to high school. And I'm like, man, what are we going to do? And Christian's words to me were, "It will dry clear. We're going straight to the school." And I'm like, great. And thinking about it, and that's not true, by the way. Coffee does not dry clear. We pull up into the parking lot. And that's brotherly love, right? We pull up into the parking lot. We parked in the stadium of the high school back in Georgia, Warner Robins, which I really praised last week if you were here. It's a great town. But anyway, we pull up there, and Christian proceeds to spill coffee all over himself. What does he do? We're going home. Is that love? Because that's brotherly love, but that's a love that failed me until he selfishly needed a change for his senior year of high school. So congratulations to Christian. I will never forget that moment. But what is love? I am convinced, and I'm sure you are too, that the greatest definition of love is the cross of Jesus Christ. You cannot say that enough. When you are out and about in the community and people are searching for love, the greatest definition of love is the cross of Jesus Christ. Know that I love you. And as I was writing this up this week, I was praying for you. I have a list of all the people, our regular attenders. I'm praying over those names, begging God that you would receive this message in love. But know more than anything that God loves you. And John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world, which includes you, that he sent his one and only son to die for you. And that is a love that never fails you. Never in my life have I been failed by the love displayed on the cross of Jesus Christ. Never happened. Oh, I've had ups and downs, but I can never definitively say, oh, God's love has failed me. It's the greatest definition of love. And so the message idea for today, the main idea, y'all know I call it the MIM, main idea of message, is this. God loves us. God loves us. We must love one another. And more than anything in this Advent season that we are in, people need us, desperately need us to love one another. A consistent love that we're going to argue only comes from God Almighty. Because if you're loving people with a brotherly love, like my brother loved me with that day, don't do that. No, that's not in the notes. Don't do that. Here's a question that I have for you. I don't know where I was going with that. Can someone who does not know God or does not love God, can those people love people? Yeah, they can. Absolutely, they can. Of course, they can. In fact, some of those people, sadly, do better at loving people than the church does at loving people. Now, there's all different definitions of love, and we're going to talk about some of that today. But yeah, people who don't know God, people who would even say they hate God, they can love people. They can love people. Just like people who don't know God or people who don't love God, maybe atheists out there, they can love people, and those people can have hope. Those people can have peace. Those people can have joy, and those people can love. But here's the thing. Their hope is not a lasting hope. Their peace is not a lasting peace. Their joy is not a lasting joy, and their love is not the full expression of love that God intends for us to love one another with, that only comes through Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4, it's a great, phenomenal chapter. You could read this time of year. You could read it during Easter. Look at this. 1 John 4, starting in verse 7. John writes this, "Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is made complete in us." God, we beg of you that you would speak to us now, that we, every person in the room today, people watching online, that we would experience this love that only comes from you, and that we would recognize in this season, this Christmas season, that the greatest display of love, the greatest definition of love is truly the cross of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that example. I just pray that we would follow suit and live out that type of love as we're living in a world that is loveless, that desperately needs the love of God. Speak to us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I want to look at a few things from this text today. Number one, I want to look at the source of love. The source of love. The source of love, the origin of love starts, with God, the creator of the universe. John tells us, let us love one another because love is from God. That is, love flows from God. Love has its source in God. We could argue that any capacity to love, whether you are in Christ or not, is only by the grace of God. That means people who do not know God have this profound ability to love people because God graces them with the ability to love. And the love shown throughout the world finds its origin in God. Now, listen, John's talking about a very specific type of love. How do we know that? Because in the text, John says, everyone that loves has been born of God, or everyone that loves knows God and is known by God. How is that possible? Because I'm sure you are like me. I know people who hate God, who would say they want nothing to do with God, who would go as far as saying there is no God, who mock God, yet they show great love to other people. Think about somebody that I personally know. Had a lot of conversations with this person. Recently, he was straight up mocking God, talking about that, asking somebody, what's the difference between God and a unicorn? Real conversation that happened just recently in my life. I love this dear brother, and hope he's watching today, because something that he did earlier in the month, we know somebody who crashed on a motorcycle recently and had to stay in the hospital for 2 weeks. Someone who's hopeless, struggling right now. I won't give you the person's name. He's out of the hospital, but pray for him. Pray for him, even right now in this moment. But I have to confess, I felt a conviction. Man, I need to go visit this guy in the hospital. I didn't go. This guy's like, shame on you, David. No, that's not how that works. but I didn't go visit him. This other person I know who was mocking God went and visited the brother in the hospital just to hang out with him, to encourage him, to show him love. How is that possible? Because John says in his word that it's only people who love God are going to be loving one another. If you don't love God, you can't show love. So how is that possible? It's because John is talking about a very specific type of love. Remember, we can all show love. I failed at showing this guy the love of God in that moment. Thankful that I've been able to have conversations with the brother who was in a motorcycle accident recently. But I failed to show love. This other guy hates God, wants nothing to do with God, showed love. John's talking about what is called agape love. I'm sure you've heard that there's several different words used in the Greek text, which is translated over into English today, different types of love in the Bible. In every single instance that the word love is mentioned in John, 1 John chapter 4, it's the word agape. It's an agape-style love. And agape love is like the supreme form of love. It's a love that loves with no strings attached. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that is, to be quite frank, undeserved in some ways. When God loves us with this type of love, we certainly don't deserve for him to love us in this way. And here's the thing with agape love. You can only love people with this sacrificial love, this agape love, if you know God. Because this agape love both loves God and loves other people. It has a deep, passionate, intimate relationship with God and loves lost people and loves saved people. It loves everyone. And by the way, loving lost people with an agape love includes taking the step of telling them about Jesus. So that's how it's possible that John's able to say everyone that loves has been born of God. John is saying that everyone who loves God and has a relationship with God and loves people, those people are the ones who have been born of God. People who are not born of God, who do not know God, who do not love God, they can't express this type of love. They're unable to. 1 John 3:23, you can write that down. John tracks, you'd want to read the whole 1 John, the whole book, if you want to have the full context. But 1 John 3:23, John writes that true children of God love God and believe in God. So the full expression of agape love both loves God and loves people. And it's showing this type of love, this agape love that loves God and loves people. When you show this type of love, it's giving evidence that you have been born again, that you know God. In the absence of this type of love, if your life is not characterized by this God-like love, it shows you do not know God. So the source of love, all love, is God. God is ultimately the definition of love. But we also see, starting in verse 9, and we'll read verses 9 and 10, the manifestation of love. Look at verse 9. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus Christ is the manifestation of love. That's why this message title, if you're looking for a title, is the Advent of Love. God is love. Jesus is God. Therefore, Jesus is love. We live in a world that is desperately searching for true love. People don't feel loved. They sense that people kind of care about them, but they're looking for a lasting love, a love that's not going to fail them. There's a lot of videos out there of people who are at the end of their ropes. Very often, it's people who are on the suicide hotline and a police officer has been dispatched to go intervene before the individual or individuals take their lives. And there's one that sticks out to me that went viral on the internet over the last year of an Army veteran who was in his truck and he was on the suicide hotline and a police officer was dispatched and he got to this guy's truck and he was like, hey man, you know, basically they're chit-chatting, asking him to come out of the car, ask him what's wrong. And this Army veteran is sobbing on the phone. And then he's sobbing to the police officer saying, I don't know what I want to, I don't know what to do. And he's just crying. He's barely getting the words out. And he's telling the officer, I'm on the phone with the suicide hotline. He eventually gets the guy to come out of the car. And it will grip you emotionally because he's standing next to the truck at this point, and he's just hands on his knees and just sobbing and crying. And then you know what he says to the police officer? Can I have a hug? Just wants a hug. Officer, of course, is like, yeah, man, for sure. And he embraces him and just crying. And that's an example of so many people in the world today. They just want that type of love. They just want a hug. And these people are searching for someone that will love them for who they are. And the beauty of the gospel message of Jesus Christ is we know the God that loves them and will always love them. And that brother just needs to hear that God loves him. That's it. It's that simple of a message. We know a God who loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to be the manifestation of his love for us to see. And that love went so, so far. People aren't feeling the love. They want to know they are loved, and they need to know that God loves them and that he will always love them. And I want you to know that God loves you and he will always love you. Doesn't matter what you've done. He loves you. Notice that God's love is revealed by sending his son Jesus for two reasons listed. John gives us two reasons in this text. He says, so that we may live, praise God. Aren't you glad you're here today, that you're alive? God sent his son so that you could be here today alive and breathing. I think we forget that sometimes. So that we may live, but also that Jesus would die. Think about that. That is agape love. God sent Jesus down on this planet so that we can live, but so that Jesus would die. That is the love manifested through Jesus. We live through him. Jesus dies. Notice, though, he is the one and only Son. The Greek word there, you could translate it unique. That is, Jesus is the only one in his class. Do y'all know the word or term goat? You know what I'm talking about? The goat. Like, what does goat mean? Greatest of all time. Who's the greatest golfer of all time? Correct. Tiger Woods. Ricky Fowler. No. Ricky Fowler is far from the greatest of all time. Tiger Woods. That's the correct answer. That's absolute truth. We can debate that later. Greatest quarterback of all time, I would argue, is Tom Brady. Tom Brady. Greatest basketball player of all time, Michael Jordan, no doubt about it. Although LeBron's making the run, we'll have that debate later. There's all these goats, all the greatest of all time. The greatest person to ever walk this planet of all time is Jesus Christ. And there's no one in his class. There's no debating that. Jesus is the greatest of all time. He's the one and only Son. He's the unique one. And God sent his Son, this unique Son, with a single purpose, that is our living and Jesus dying. Jesus was on a mission to impart life into what we read in Ephesians 2, our dead people. Jesus came to give life. And living through Jesus includes not just breathing. I mean, I thank God that we're breathing today. Don't start thinking about it, right? Don't start thinking about your breathing. But I thank God that we're breathing today. But Jesus, the life that he gives is so much more than just breathing. It's having fellowship with God. It's the ability to abide by the word of God. It's the ability to have victory over your sin. It's the ability to walk in the light as he is in the light. It's the ability to live like Jesus. No one's going to deny when you read the Gospels that you read of this man and you think, man, I want to live like that. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, most people read through the Gospels and think, I want to live like that. I want to love like that. I want to care for people like that. That's why Jesus came, so that you can. That's the kind of life that he's extending to you today, that he's extending to the world today. But it comes at a cost. He died. He died. Why did he die? Because we don't choose love naturally. We don't do that. Have anything go wrong in your life or anyone treat you wrong, you've probably reacted in a very unloving way. That's what we do naturally most of the time without Christ. Someone mistreats us, boom, I'm going to mistreat you. That's by nature what we do. That's why Christ died, because we don't choose love naturally, and we definitely don't choose to love God naturally. God loved us first, and he loved us first by showing us by sending his son Jesus to lay his life down on a cross as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. It was not an ordinary death. It was not a random death. It was a very strategic death of a Savior who died in your place and in my place, because we are born guilty of sin. So Jesus died to atone for that sin. Reminds us of a song. If you've grown up in church, you've probably heard it. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? It is an amazing love. And that's how much God loves you. And he loved you first. This atoning sacrifice teaches us so much about God. You know, one of the things it teaches us, God is a wrathful God. He's a God of wrath. Some people struggle with that. But it makes a lot of sense when you think about it, because a holy God has to be a wrathful God because of sin. A holy God, by nature, has to hate sin because he's a perfect God. So the atoning sacrifice teaches us that God is a God of wrath. He's a God who hates sin, but he's also holy. He's a perfect God. A perfect God can't be around sin. So God made a way for us to be in his presence, and he loves you so much that he made a way to turn his wrath towards someone other than you. That's how much God loves you. And he turned his wrath toward his one and only son, the unique one, the one where there's only one in his class. Tim Keller says it best. The gospel is that Jesus lived the life you should have lived and died the death you should have died in your place, so that God can receive you, not for your record and sake, but for his record and sake. If God left you to you, you would never have loved him, and you would definitely not love other people with the type of love that he desires for you. It's the greatest gift in the world. And Jesus is the very manifestation of that love. Thirdly, we see there is actually a call to love. That comes in verse 11 and verse 12. John writes this, "Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is made complete in us." In the beginning, I referenced that too often those who aren't Christians are loving people better than those who are. Now, sometimes that's not reality, because sometimes we show love and it's received as a message of hate. That's what the gospel message sometimes is received as. If we say Jesus is the only way to God the Father or to the Creator God, they would say that's a hateful message. So sometimes our message of love is received as a message of hate because of the fallen world we live in. Christians are hated more and more, but sometimes I think we all know that there are times when Christians could do a better job at showing the love of God to others. We read that we are to be known by our love. People should see us and think, man, what a loving person. If you know me, naturally, that's probably not what people are saying about me at times. I've got work to do. It's not always easy to love. It's not always easy to share the gospel message of Jesus to people who say, I hate the gospel message of Jesus. It's not. It's not always easy to love people who aren't loving you in return. But something about the love of God, this God-like love, is we love with no strings attached. We just love because God loves us. And there's nothing better we can do than to love one another and share the gospel with the person that says, I hate God. No, we love them and we share, knowing that it's the greatest form and act of love that we could show that person. The call to love remains, but where do we find our motivation to love? Where do we find our inspiration to love? Do we find it from our friends? Do we find it from a lost and dying world? Do we find it from our spouse? Where do we find our love? We find our inspiration to love, and we find our motivation to love in the simple fact that God loves us. That's where it starts. It starts with the origin of love. That's where you draw your inspiration to love. That's where you draw your motivation to love, is that God loves you. But it's not just a motivation deal. John's not saying, be motivated by the love of God. There's an obligation for us to love one another. There's an obligation to love. That is, we don't have an option. We can't wake up one morning. You can't wake up tomorrow and be obedient to God, but have this conversation with him. God, you know, Susie Joe, she treated me so bad yesterday, and it was not nice what she did. And so I'm not going to love Susie Joe today. No, that's not the call. The call is to love one another at all times, regardless of how Susie Joe treats you. And I hope there is no Susie Joe in the house, because I bet she's nice. I bet she's really nice. God laid on us a continuing obligation to love one another. And this is vital when it comes to our mission to spread the gospel message to the world, because John says in 1 John 4:12, no one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. Not a single person has seen him up close and in person. They have not seen his glory. They have not seen his majesty. The world can't see God in his essence, but they can see God through lives of those who have received God's love. And that happens when we love people how God has loved us. There is a call for us to love one another. God's love was manifested through Jesus, through Christ. And God's love is revealed to the world through you and me. John also says that God's love is perfected in us when we love. He uses this idea of God's love being perfected in us 4 times in 1 John. And one way that love is perfected is when we show agape love to one another. I came here to tell you today, first and foremost, that God loves you so much, and that is a message that we all need to hear from time to time. Like I said, one of the best things you can do this Advent season, every single day leading up to Christmas, is put the cross front and center in your sight. Remind yourself of the love of the Father, how much he loves you. So one of the best things you can do this Christmas season is remind yourself how much God loves you. God loves us, so we must love one another. This is a message the world needs to hear. What the world needs to hear more than anything is that to be connected to the Creator God, to experience real and genuine and lasting love, you have to find fellowship with him through Jesus Christ, the very manifestation of God's love. The world needs to hear that message. If you're looking for an application today, here it's very simple. Let's love well. Let's love God well, and let's love people well. If you're wondering, man, how am I doing in loving people? How am I doing in loving one another with this love of the Father? If you're a believer in the house, let me ask you this. Does your love for other people require any sacrifice from you Or does it allow you to just kind of stay status quo every single day like everyone else? Because in agape love, when we love people well, when we love people with this love that only comes from the Father, it requires sacrifice on our end. It's not easy. Have you sacrificed at all to love someone in the last week? What about all the gifts? This is a year of gift giving, right? We love gifts. Like, I want Piper and Ivy to have the greatest Christmas in the world. It's probably going to be burnt, you know. I think that every year. And I don't know what they think. I think they're going to have a great Christmas, right? I'll tell you what they're getting. No, I'm not going to tell you what they're getting. But hey, sometimes loving people well is sacrificing a little bit what's under your tree to give to the people around you. See, it takes some sacrifice. Takes some kind of laying down your wants to love someone else. So if you're wondering, man, am I loving people well? Does your love of people require any sacrifice from you? Aren't you glad that God's love was a sacrificial love where he was willing to send his one and only son, his unique son, to die for you? Required a great amount of sacrifice. And it's this type of sacrificial love that we are called to live out every single day. But you cannot live in love with that kind of sacrificial love, that kind of agape love, if you don't know God and if you aren't known by God. And that's one of the greatest miracles, that we can't just know God, but God knows us when we find life through Jesus Christ. And the gospel has been presented. Christ died for you. He died on the cross. He lived a perfect, sinless life, died on a cross, rose again, conquering sin and grave on the third day, ascended to heaven. And then we read in Acts 2 that what came down from heaven was the Spirit of God filling every single person who finds life through Jesus. It's the greatest thing in the world that we can now go and spread this love, this gospel message of truth to the world. Have you experienced that? Are you known by God? If you ran into God right now, if you died right now, and you were standing face to face before God, would he know you by name? Would he know who you are? Or would he say, I've never heard of you? You can make that decision to clarify that in your life today. And I would love to share with you more about what that would look like. I'll be down here. Would love to talk to you more about what it means to follow Jesus. But man, if you hear anything today, I want you to hear that God loves you. God loves you. He loves you. God, we thank you for this message of love today, for this Advent season of love that we are in. Lord, we pray right now for the one or the ones who haven't received this message of love, who haven't been transformed by this the saving power of the gospel. Would you move in their life right now, and would you help them see their desperate need for you? God, would you help them see how much you love them? You love them so much that you sent Jesus to die for them so that you could have fellowship with them. May this be the day of their salvation where they go from death to life. Thank you for doing the work. Give faith to believe. I pray for the believers in the house that we love people well this week and the rest of this year, going into next year. Our world needs to experience the love that only the church can provide. Oh, there's love shown all throughout the world, but only the church can show a true godlike love. And that's what our world needs. That's what our nation needs, is the church to show godlike love. So help us do it. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Worship team's going to come back up to lead us in one last song. You can go ahead and stand up. We're going to sing together. If you want to give your life to Jesus, I'd love to talk with you more about that. Thank you.